Then I'll hear it again next week. All right. Good. I love the songs when you talk to God. You know, I just love those. Now, I got a question for you. How many of you have worked on your 3 or 4 or 5 paragraph story that you're going to tell? Not many of you. I gave you notebooks, gave you stuff to write on. If you didn't get a notebook, let me know. I'll give you one. You take it home to work on your message because it's going to be your message. Amen. If more of you had done it this week, you would be giving the message this week. But it didn't happen. So I get to give you a very long message. Okay? To see if it gets to where it needs to be. Does that sound fair? Okay. Are you ready? Because I've got 37 pages. Actually, if you look at your scriptures, you'll see that I have a whole bunch of scriptures there. Bunches and bunches and bunches, 2.5 pages worth. So it's going to be a fun day, right? I should have brought lunch today. Oh, I did. Okay. Maybe we'll take a lunch break and come back. Now, I have a question for you, though. When you think about God, God is entirely self-sufficient, self-sustaining. Does God have a desire? And if God has a desire, what is it? So to start this off, we're going to be looking at Genesis. And we're going to be looking at Genesis' story of creation. And when God started making things, he made us from him. And so if God wanted, in the beginning, when God wanted to create something, there's a couple of things that happened. What did the first Genesis 1 say? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And he created them. It also says that God said, let there be light, and there was light. He created light. But when God wanted to make things, because God at the beginning was creating and making. That's kind of confusing sometimes, isn't it? What's the difference between creating and making? Well, when in the beginning, when God was creating and making things, he created the heavens and the earth. He said, let there be light. But when God wanted to create other things, what did he do? He spoke to what these things were going to be created from. He spoke to the dirt. And he spoke to the dirt. And he said what? Bring forth plants. And it did. Bring forth trees. It did. So he created some things and he made some other things. And it kind of reminds me of the story about the scientists who wanted to prove God wrong. And so they set out to create life. And they did. And so they said to God, okay, we're as good as you. We can create life. And God said, okay, show me. So they started piling up some dirt. And God went, whoa, 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 wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Amen. Now, get your own dirt. Okay? When you create something, you make it from nothing, theologically speaking. Okay? You create it from nothing. When you make something, you make it from something else. You use something to make it. And so it's really important that we understand the difference between those two, because God makes things out of what? Out of something. But that something is going to sustain what he created, what he made, excuse me, and whatever he made is going to return to it. That makes sense? We have made a lot of stuff. And we think we're creative. Okay? But we really have never created anything. We've made a lot of stuff. Creating takes from nothing and makes it. We don't have that ability. God does. We don't have that ability to do that, to take that and make it from there. And like I said, God speaks to, in the scripture it says, God said, let there be. Let there be, let there be. He said that all the time through creation and the making. So he said, let there be plants. Let there be livestock. Let there be animals. So we've never created anything. But, before you feel too bad, we have creative minds. And so we've got those creative minds, and in the creative mind, that gives us, we're in that image. So Genesis 1:11 said, and God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees from the land that bear fruit with seeds in it according to their kinds, and it was so. So God said, let the earth produce trees. God didn't say, let there be trees. He said, let the earth produce trees. There's a difference. Why? Because, again, he wanted what he made. He spoke to what he wanted to be made from. Because he wanted it made from it, he wanted that to sustain whatever he made. And then when it went back to the earth. So we think about Genesis 20. And God said, let the water teem with living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky. 24 said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kind. Livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and all wild animals, each according to its kind. And so it was. Animals, and we're an animal. Some of us were more animal than other. Okay? But we were made from dirt. We are sustained by dirt. And we return to dirt. So what's the big deal about that? If God wants something made, he said, let the earth bring forth plants. Let it bring forth the animals and so on. And it sustains it. So what's the big deal? Why am I making such a big deal out of that? Because God spoke to the dirt and created and made, and made stuff. Stuff that would be sustained by the dirt, and when it died, it would go back to the dirt. Isn't that what happens?
Yes.
We die. We live. We eat stuff. And we do that. But when God wanted us, God spoke to himself. So what is made from what God speaks to. God spoke to himself. Remember, again, speaks to whatever he wants to make it from. That will sustain them, and that was what he'll return to. Genesis 1:26. And God said, let us make man in our own image. In our likeness, let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So it says, God said, let us make man, men and women, in our own image. And so some of you are saying, well, but Scripture says that God took the dust and made us. He made our bodies. This physical being, he made that from the dirt. We are sustained by the dirt. We go from there. And somebody might say, well, aren't we made from dirt? Yes, we are. Our bodies are. But our spirits are not. Our spirits were made from God. Amen. And when we go along that way, our spirits came from God, and we will return to God. And our bodies are sustained by the dirt. Now, we eat dirt. You're going, yeah, right. But we do. Think about it. Cows eat grass, right? Cows produce milk. You take milk, you make ice cream and things that come from the dirt. So therefore, ice cream is healthy.
Amen.
Because it comes from milk.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Amen. Yeah?
Amen.
Yeah. Because it comes from milk. Think about it. What's grass? What's milk? Processed grass, right? So ice cream is processed salad.
Exactly.
It's healthy. I have an excuse, and I'm sticking with it. So we are made from the plants. We're made from the dirt and the things like that. And so, if you look at it, if a plant all of a sudden one day decided and says to the ground, "I'm pulling out. I don't need you anymore." If that happened, what would happen to the plant?
It would die.
It would die. It would die. That's basically what we told God in the garden. I'm pulling out. I'm going to do it on my own. Isn't that what we do all the time? I'm going to do this on my own.
I don't like your answer, God Almighty.
Mm-hmm. That's what you're talking about there. I'm going to pull out. And God says, in the day you do, you're going to die. Yep. In the day that you do, you're going to die. Man did it. They pulled out. And some people will say, well, but they didn't die. Yes, they did. They died spiritually. They died spiritually. Not physically, but death was entered into it. We get older. I mean, they back then lived 900, 800 years in that time. But they grew older, and as they got older, they died. And they returned to the dust and the dirt. And that's what happens in those lives. And so they died spiritually. Ephesians 2:1 says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and your sins. In essence, we were spiritually dead in our lives after the fall. And John 10:10 says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Before Jesus Christ, we didn't have a life. Not a spiritual life. We didn't have it. And we weren't even alive. So one of the things God did is God made us from him. He made us to be like him. I find that really fascinating. We were created to be like him. I can't even fathom that. Because we don't have all the abilities. We don't have all the things. But we have all the emotions. We're creative. Richard makes jewelry and things like that, t-shirts with glitter all over and stuff like that. You know, I mean, just you know who Richard is, but he makes it. He has a creative mind. God has a creative mind. Look around. If you don't think God has a creative mind, just look around. Go out and look at the yard at all the different plants, all the different things that are there. God has very creative mind. Look at all of us. Amen. I mean, you know, my dad used to say God made D and broke the mold. No, my dad got that backwards. You know how they say God made you and they broke the mold? My dad said they broke the mold and then made D. Because I was just a little off, you know, and I love it. But God is very creative and we have creative minds. Richard creates jewelry in his mind. He doesn't say, let there be jewelry, and there is. But he has that, and he takes it, and he applies it. He uses the machine he has, and he does the cutting, does the thing. He makes something. You take a gob of clay, you make it into a vase. I said that right, didn't I? Not to say vase, you know? But you don't create it. You make it. Only God can create it. And so Scripture tells us that God made man, from the dust of the earth, from the dirt, and all the animals and everything else. But he made Adam, and Adam was perfect. If you look at Adam, Adam had no flaws because he lived perfectly. He had no lustful thoughts, any of that kind of stuff, because he was perfect. But it says that he didn't find a mate suited for him. And so God says, well, here, name all the animals. So he's naming them all. It says, so man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. But for Adam, there was not a suitable helper found. Why would the Bible say that? There was not a suitable helper found. Because he was looking. God said, here, name all the animals. See if there's one you like that suits your needs. And he named them all. You know, he thought, oh, there's a hippo. It's not big. It'd be warm in the winter. But, you know, got big lips, but not what I'm looking for. You know, it's not what I need. And so what did God do? God, when Adam went to sleep, he took the female part out of Adam. Because if you think about it, God is just as much male as he is female. So, you know, we were just as much as he is female. But God took that female part out and separated them, and then there was the woman. He gave Adam a bride. Now, how did God know that Adam would be satisfied with the bride? Because God has the same desire. When we read the scripture, what does it say? We are the bride of Christ. We. Kyle gets to be the bride. You get to pick out your dress. Okay? He won't let you. A little bit of secret coming out there. All right. Okay. But scripture tells us that there's no male, no female. We all are the bride of Christ. And so in essence, that's what God did. God gave Adam a bride, another human being to share life with. And isn't that what we're looking for in our lives? Another human being. And so we're created in the image of God. And we're meant to be that way. We're made from Him. And also, God made us to love Him. We were made to love God.
Amen.
We have a choice. We get to choose to love. In our companions, I see these two back here cuddling up. Okay? They chose each other. These two chose each other. We choose to be with people. We choose to love. Do we choose to love God? If we have, do we express that love? God desires for us to express the love.
Amen.
What's the best way we can do that? Through worship. Through worship. We come here once a week to what?
Worship.
To sing songs?
Worship.
Yeah. To hear a message? Yeah. To do worship through giving? Yeah. When you tell God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ, you're worshiping.
Amen.
The praise teams are over here every week, and they sing, and you sing along with them. Are you praising, or are you just singing?
Praising.
You know, I thought about that a lot, and it's like this morning. That's why I love thank you, Lord, because it's praising with a grateful heart. Song of praise with an outstretched arm. I would praise your name. Thank you, Lord. One of my favorite songs. I love those songs where we sing to God.
Yes.
Not just about God. I love those things when we do that because it gives us a chance to do it. But too often it's so easy to sit there and just sing the song and not really think about what we're doing. God desires that relationship between us and what we're doing. And so He built us to love Him, to express love. But the thing about God is when you say to God, God, I love you, what does God say? I love you too. You would say to your spouse, I love you. I want to be with you more than anybody else. I would die so that you could live. And if we say that to God, I love you, God says, I love you. I want to be with you more than anybody else. God says, I want to be with you more than anybody else. And you say, I would die so that you could live. God said, I did.
Amen.
I did. I died so that you can live. And so God has a desire to get to know Him, to share with Him, to be with Him, to have that life with Him. Now, I set the Bible up here for a reason. Because I've talked about the Bible, and I've given you challenges to read. How many of you are reading 15 minutes a day or more? Now, you take the Bible here. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. 1,189 chapters. If you read 10 chapters per day, you will read the entire Bible in 119 days. 4 months, one day of rest. If you read 10 chapters a day, you can read the Bible 3 times in a year. The entire Bible, front to back. If you want to expand that a little bit and go and read 25 chapters a day, you'll read it in, I forgot what my notes said, in 24 weeks. 24 weeks. If you want to expand that to 50 chapters, you'll read it in 24 days. If you expand that to 100 chapters a day, which would mean that's all you do every day, is sit down and read 100 chapters, you can read the entire Bible in 12 days. 12 days. I can't read that fast. For me, 10 chapters is a lot. But we can read this 10 times, four times a year. We could read the scriptures by just reading 10 chapters a day. We can get to know God very well. And one of the things happens as you read through the chapters and you go through all this, you find that reoccurring things happen. The day before yesterday, I was reading and I saw a footnote, and it's like 103rd Psalms. So I turned to it and I read the 103rd Psalm, 103rd Psalms. I get my mouth working right. It's an incredible story. It's an incredible scripture. It is so New Testament because it's all about God's love for us, all about God's grace, and how God overlooks the things that we do. And I reflected that back into Hebrews, because what we've been looking at in our Wednesday night service was Hebrews. We started out looking at that, and it was talking about how God overlooked all of our sins to have a relationship with us. Now, I've got here all those scriptures. There's a bunch of them. And I'm going to read them all to you. And you who know me, how I read, my reading abilities are going, you've got to be kidding me. I wish I was. Oh, we got one leaving already. Oh, no. Okay. Does anybody else need to go before I start? No. Just kidding. Okay. Exodus 6:7. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then I will be your God. Leviticus 26:12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. Jeremiah 7:23. But I gave them this command, obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Jeremiah 11:4. I commanded your forefathers when I brought them out of Egypt, out of the iron smelting furnace. I said, obey me and do everything I command you, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 24:7. I will give them a heart and to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their hearts. Jeremiah 30:22. So you will be my people, and I will be your God. Jeremiah 31:33. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after this time, declares the Lord. I will put my law on their minds and write on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Ezekiel 11:22. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 14:11. Then the people of Israel will no longer stray from me, nor will they defile themselves anymore with all their sins. They will be my people, and I will be their God, declares the sovereign Lord. Ezekiel 36:28. You will live in the land I gave your forefathers. You will be my people, and I will be your God. Ezekiel 37:23. They will no longer defile themselves with idols and with vile images or with any of their other offenses. I will save them from all their sinful backsliding. I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. Ezekiel 37:27. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Hosea, I will plant her for myself in the land and show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. Now, I'm going to break right here. This is written to Gentiles. This was written to Gentiles. I will plant her for myself in the land. I will show my love to the one I called, not my loved one. I will say to those called, not my people, you are my people, and they will say, you are my God. Then he wrote to the exiles, I will bring them back to live in Jerusalem, and they will be my people, and I will be faithful and righteous to them as their God. Zechariah 13:9. This is the third I will bring into the fire. I will refine them like silver and test them like gold. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, they are my people, and they will say, the Lord is our God. 2 Corinthians 6:19. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Did you catch that? We are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Hebrews 8:10. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Revelations 21:1-3. Then I saw the new heaven and the new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. I like that last part. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Did you get what God's desire is?
Us.
Huh?
Us.
Us. God wants us to be his people. And he's going to be our God, or he is our God. He asks us to walk with him, to talk with him, to spend time with him. We live in a troubled time. Are we supposed to throw it all in? No. We're supposed to give it to God.
Amen.
We're supposed to trust God. Joe talked about trusting God this morning. It was worship through giving. That's what worship through giving is all about. God does not need our money.
Amen.
God doesn't need it. He uses it.
Yes.
He uses it. God gave us talents to use, to share. God gave us abilities. Different abilities. I mean, that's the cool part about it. We are so much alike and we are so different.
Amen.
We can be alike and different. Twins can be alike and different. And it's amazing that God created us. Difference is opinion. Pretend for a minute that in the Garden of Eden, that Adam had been off doing something in the other field when Eve was tempted. Now, we know that's not true. He was there. He saw the whole thing. He participated in it. But if he had been off somewhere else, when he fell, God would have came to Adam and said, Adam, I am so sorry to have to tell you this, but your bride has sinned, and she has to die. Now, that didn't happen, because we know he was right there. But it did happen. With us, we walked away. And Father God had to go to say to God the Son, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Son, but your bride, us, has sinned. And she has to die. And I can imagine the tears rolling down Jesus' face. And he hung his head and he says, but I don't want her to. And God says, I'm sorry, but somebody has to die. And I can see Jesus raising his head and wiping away the tears and saying, then let it be me. Let it be me. God has a desire. And it is us. A relationship with us. Time with us. And God wants us to be exactly who he created us to be. Nobody else. Because God broke the mold and made you. Because there is no mold. There's you. Now, I want you to close your eyes, bow your head. And I often ask you to do this, to think about, ask the Holy Spirit, what he wants you to get from this message. But like the singing, I don't want it to become just routine, just something we do. But really stop and ask and be quiet and think about it and see what the Holy Spirit tells you. And you may not get it now. It may be in the car on the way home or when you're eating your sandwich or whatever. Would you pray with me? Oh, loving God, I thank you that we are the desire of your heart. And that when you created all of this, we sit on this little speck in the middle of all the creation. And we look at how small this world is compared to everything else. And you love us. Not more, but you love us. And Lord God, we love you. We thank you for creating us. We thank you for desiring us. We thank you, Lord, for your imagination that made us so different from each other and yet so much alike. Like I mentioned in the prayer earlier this morning, Lord, we live in a time that's troubled, not just this country, but the world. And Lord, we need you to intervene because your Holy Spirit is the only one, Lord, that can touch some of these people. And we need your Holy Spirit to do that. Like I said, not just here, but all over the world. You told us to pray for our leaders. And so, Lord, we are. We're lifting our voices and our thoughts to you in prayer for our government leaders, whether local or national or worldwide. Give them direction. Give them guidance. Lord, I know some of them will not listen to your promptings. But, Lord, we ask you to give them to them anyway, to give them a chance. And Lord, there are people out there that are just one prayer away from being one of your children, joining. And Lord, bless the people around them with guidance and direction so that they can open up conversations with people that need to know your love, that need to know you. Lord, that's all of us. We all need to know you better. Help us to do that, to walk in your light and your glory. To trust you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.